Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. What a 2 weeks I have had. These have been some of the greatest 2 weeks that I have ever had in my whole life in reference to being in the spirit. Make sure everything is spiritual, because it's got to be spiritual in order to defeat the devil. You can't defeat the devil if it's not within the spirit. So just remember. But before I get into that, I'm going to do a little house cleaning. I want all the Sambos to know that this is very, 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 very important. All you Sambos out there, do not ever, ever call me or want to talk to me. Never. I have already contacted. I let them know that I am not going to ever talk to you guys ever, ever again. And if I'm talking to you, then that's on me. But if you won't try to call me, I'm going to look at that as a declaration of war. That's how I'm going to do it. And I know you're trying to bait me into saying something that I'm threatening you. That's how y'all operate, especially them seats. That's how they operate. They'll get on the phone and have 3-4 people record their conversation. That's how they operate. That's their MO. That's what they do. And they've been doing that the same thing for years. But they met their match with me. You see, they have met their match with me. You see, and that's important, because you're dealing with people who has no respect for the community, only what they can get out of the community, you see. And I want to make sure I make myself perfectly clear. And I was told, make yourself clear. I do not talk to Sambos for any reason. If you are Sambo, I do not talk to you. Don't call me. Don't talk to me if you see me in public, because I will not. I will look at it as a declaration of war, and you don't want that. You don't want that. You know, you got these guys walking around here with guns. If you are a coward before you got a gun, you're still a coward after you get the gun. Straight up cowards, you see? And that's just the way it is. Straight up cowards. You see, so let me repeat this for the final time. I do not talk to Sambos. Do not call me. Do not talk to me, because I will not talk to you, and I'm going to look at it as a declaration of war. That's how I'm going to do it. So I already discussed it. I told them, you know, about you guys, and I told them my plan and how I'm going to do it. It's right ahead, because they said, as long as you, I don't. So they... You know, I'm not letting them call me so they can record what I say. That's what they do, too. Their history is they record what you say and try to use that. But this time it failed, which was really, really, really very, very, very important, because it got us to where we needed to be. And I'm really, really so happy. But I want to I put out for people to vote whether we should go after them seats. And the voting turnout, 3,254 said I should go after them. 3,254 said I should go after them to teach them a lesson. And the two witnesses, Carmela Bederson and Michael Hoare, the sexual predator, they said, I should go after them. But one thing about me, I don't seek revenge. I don't waste my time with revenge, you see, unless it's necessary. In this case, I really don't see it being necessary to go after these people on this level, because it's a waste of time and a waste of energy. Anyway, 3,779 people said, let God deal with them. So right now, 779 people in these 2 weeks had expressed a desire that I should let God deal with these people. We know they're bad people. But they're saying is that we should allow God to deal with them. And I don't waste my time, especially on scumbags. You know, and they're a scumbag family. You know, I met the decent brother, but he, you know, he's the most decent. That's the one they try to criticize. No, he's the decent one, you see. But that's how I look at it. It was unfortunate that it had to go like that, but it did. But we had a great week. It was a exciting week. Everything went according to plan. There was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And, you know, the spanking I gave my little seat in court, her and her comrades, it was really an ugly situation. You could see the demons. And this is the truth. This is what I saw. I witnessed this. I witnessed this girl having horns coming out of her head. She had wings and a tail and this long face. Yes, this is true. This is what I saw, you know. I don't know whether anybody else saw it, but I saw it, you see. I saw it in court before I started spanking that boot. And it just goes to show how God actually works, you know. Because we have to deal with evil with good. That's how you defeat evil, is with good. Only way that you're going to be able to defeat evil is with good. But we're surrounded with evil. Then, the bad part, she had this girl, Carmela Bedersen, to come in here, come to court, and just outright lie. I guess her way of thinking was that I wasn't going to be in court. Somebody named Tiffany Mays used to work with me with the water, told her that I was going to hire somebody to assassin. I don't know what she was saying. It was crazy. It was a crazy. And this girl, her mother, her own mother, had open heart surgery, and she wouldn't let her own mother stay with her. Good kind of mess is that? And she came into court. She had a tail and horns and had this big balloon face. It was ugly. It was ugly. The whole situation was ugly. Then we have, of course, Michael Foy, the blockhead. He came into court. He had a blockhead about 2 feet wide with horns on it and a tail. And a tail. And got up on the stand and made the statement. He heard me say that I was going to kill my little sister. Boy, oh boy. I tell you, this is something that we need to talk about. This is something that needs to be discussed openly. But yeah, I spanked that butt in court. I tore him up. It was ugly. It was ugly. I mean, they ran out of that courtroom with their tail between their legs, and all I could do... And still, when I saw him on the corner, I just told him, I said, you got that butt spanked today? Good, didn't you? Didn't you get that butt spanked good today? And it's going to happen every time. Every time I'm on camera, you know. Because they're just evil, wicked people. And when I say evil and wicked, they're evil and wicked. So I'm going in that courtroom angry because the symbol of the year. The symbol of the year, see, what's happening now with the Sambo of the year, it's gone wild. It's wild now. It's out of control. People from all over, the Carl Nelson show, all these people, they want me to come and set it up for them. But I'll do it by Zoom. I can tell them exactly what to do because it's important that we start singling out all of these Sambos. You see, it's crucial that we single them out because that's why we're in this compromising position today because we have allowed them to get away with stuff that they just should not be able to get away with. We have allowed them to get away with stuff that they should not be able to get away with, and this is it. This is it. You see? And I tell you, don't see how that you can do it. I don't see how you can hurt the future of our children and call yourself a human being and try to walk around here like they ain't get nothing. Like they ain't get nothing. But here's a question for all my listeners. Should a pastor of a church work in a dispensary? Okay? Should a pastor of a church work in a dispensary? That's important. And I expect as many people as possible to vote on that, because I believe, my belief is that if you are a pastor or a minister or claim you are a Christian, you should not work in a dispensary. You should not. That's my opinion. But don't go by what I say. I want you to go use your own thoughts on this, because I think it's crucial. You tell me. You can vote yes or no. That's all you need to do. Email me. Vote yes or no. That's all we ask. Vote yes or no. Should a pastor work at or with a dispensary? You tell me. You tell me. Because something has to be done. See, Jesus got to come back soon. He got to come back and deal with the people who is taking advantage of the have-nots. We have the haves and the have-nots. And what they're doing, that once they start working with the enemy, they start working with them, and then they don't care about the community. And most of the time, the community don't care about the community. Black folks care about what they can do and what they can get right now. If you can't get it right now, they normally don't care. Fortunately. But that's just the way it is. And that's not all black folks. That's some. I'm saying most of them. Don't hear me out. Make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying all. There are some of you. The other day, I put something on Facebook. If Ben Harbor have these class reunions, like every week, all these people come from all out of town. And you can count the ones that's helping out the community on one hand. They got offended because I said that they should come back and help the community. But you know I don't care, you know. My job is to speak, as long as I'm speaking the truth, you know. I don't worry about what you say. I only worry about if I'm not speaking the truth, if I'm lying on you. That's the issue. But if I can help you, you'll never hear me lie on anybody. Whatever I say is going to be the truth, and I will say it once and repeat it several times just to show that we have to stand up for something for the future of our children. They're attacking us on all angles. Yeah. And the sad part, we're allowing it. We're allowing them to do whatever they want to do to us. And it's not many willing to make that sacrifice. The first thing they say, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you anyway. If they can find a way to neutralize you, they're going to do it. That's how they operate. And the point is, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And we are the busiest people there is in the world. There's nobody busier than black folks. Nobody. And we ain't busting a grape. We're not busting a grape. You know, they got assaulted by it. They throw a few dollars out there. They're hoping them dollars neutralize you. Boom, there it is. For a few dollars, you sell the future of your children. You know, we're better than, we're 50 million strong. 50 million. There's over 50 million black folks in this country. Over. And we allow these people to kick us around like old shoes. See, they bring in some new niggas now. They bring in some niggas in. You know, who are worth for half what a black person is worth. Oh, yeah. And they're already getting houses, you see, but they don't have to pay rent. They're already getting that, you see. So the plan is to neutralize you and I. That's the plan. That's the plan. It's unfortunate, but there it is. Well, anyway, the sample of the year has gone wild. It has become bigger than a Reverend Pink. I never anticipate anything like this, especially since people heard about what happened in court. And when I spanked their booty in court, it was ugly. And they hate me over there. They don't, you know, if I win, it's almost a miracle, you know. But I already knew because the Spirit of God was upon me. I could see these demons. I can see the horn. I can see the tail. I can see it. Now, the whole system went down. Unbelievable. The whole system went down. Because them demons was all up in the atmosphere. I had to call my angels. And they were sitting on that desk, watching, observing, ready to move in. It was bad. It was bad. It was bad for her. She ran out of there with her tail between her legs like nobody would believe it. You know, that tail was flopping all over the courtroom. Man, it was ugly. But anyway, I'm giving, these are the numbers, the votes that have come in for the Sample of the Award. My leather seat has retained the top spot. She had 10,175 votes. Let me repeat that. She had 10,175 votes. And I will be giving the same total tomorrow at 1 o'clock on my show. But we're not going to count them until during the week. That way, give us a chance to do it. Then we have Trenton Bourne. I mean, I don't see how anybody can put this person on a school board. I can't do it, you know. We want to save the school, but you can't save the school and continue doing stupid stuff. You know, you're affecting the learning ability of our children, you see. And that's the weapon that they use. They use that to control our children. That's unfortunate. Then we have the mayor himself, the one who we don't even know how many people have died from this water, that he refused to tell people that the water was contaminated with lead. A report just came out from the EPA, and it vindicated the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. They was, you know, trying, you know how they, black people trying to find somebody to be the fall guy other than themselves. And it didn't work. You see, the EPA knew about it. They did nothing. People got sick. People on dialysis. People got liver problems. People got heart failure. They got the kids, you know, brain. The lead is eating up the brain. All this kind of stuff is going on right now. And then we have Dwayne C. This is the time where of the mother and the son combination has over 16,000 votes. 16,000. See, people understand who these people are. See, people in Benton Harbor don't, you know, their mind is not computed to understand who these people are. But people outside, just outside the city, you see, Niles, these places, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Chicago, they know who these people are. They understand who these seats are. You know, bad people do bad things, and these are bad people. Then we have Ron Singleton, the one who retired, I think, as a corporal or something, who's getting lieutenant pay, been stealing for the last 10 years from the community, community won't say nothing because they're afraid. They're intimidated. They'll go out there and probably attack me, hit me with a tomato or something. You know, a person stealing from them directly, they won't say a word. They'll let him do what he do and won't say nothing. He's not getting over on the system. He's getting over on you. Then we have Sharon Henderson, who's been in office for over 10 years and had did exactly nothing. Nothing. And they keep voting. They keep voting. As long as you do nothing, you get reelected. That's how black people think. You see? And she may not be it, but she going to do something soon. That's the mentality that caused us to be in this compromise position. It took us over 450 years to get where we're at today. It might take us another 450 years because of stupidity. We're our own enemy. Yeah. Then we have the city manager, Sleepy. That man is almost 90 years old. He come to work to sleep. He tried to take this guy's house, but first he had his water cut off, claiming that he had lead pipe. He didn't have lead pipe. They just, because if you don't let them do the lead pipe, they lose about $15,000. So in order, they had to fake like, and they cut his water off. Then lied about it. Bunch of liars, you know. That's what they did. And then what they tried to do, now they're in the process of trying to take the house from him. This is how rotten these people are. They're rotten to the core. Then we have Judge Mayfield. They call her the baby snatcher. You know, she got 6,777 votes. And then we have the chief of police, Chief McGinnis. Never going to solve a case. Never. Never. Never going to solve a case, and nobody cares. See, this is what the evil empire wants, Whirlpool, the court. They don't want him to do, you know, long as they out here killing and robbing people, black folks, they don't care. But when they start robbing white folks, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ballgame. This Sambo of the Year War has gone wow. I never dreamed that it was going to be like this. People calling me all over. Want me to help them put it into operation. But it's good that people understand how important it is that black folks is waking up. Stop sleeping. Stop sleeping. Get a plan together and execute your plan. If you don't execute your plan, they're going to crush us because they got all the resources. And they got black folks working with them, and they got white folks working with them. And they're all working against you. They're all working against you. They will destroy you and think nothing of it and blame you for being destroyed. That's right. But listen, let me get you some good news. My grandson was married at Wrigley Field, and I officiated the wedding before 40,000 people. It was on ESPN, WGN, ABC News, CBS News, NBC News. It was such a big thing, and it was beautiful. It was a perfect, perfect wedding. No bitches. And everybody, when I told everybody to stand up, everybody stood up. It was just that power. It was the most beautiful thing that you would ever see. I am excited. Yes, I am. I am excited that I was the one who, it was my grandson, I love dearly, hardworking young man, good guy. But there's some good stuff all around. And then, I got to say it, perfect wedding. Not one single problem. Not one single problem. Even the people in the stands. That's how powerful that was. It was the most powerful thing. And it was all spiritual. It was in the spirit realm. Everything was spiritual, you see. And I just thank God for allowing me to be in the spiritual realm where I can deal with all these demons that come forth. But I just want to talk about that. My grandson, he did a magnificent job. It's all over the internet. It went viral. That's me officiating, and it was, you know, the cheering and everything was just wow. I tell you, I'm still high on that, because that was the most beautiful thing I have seen in a long time, coming together as one, as a team, you see. And they was really right into it, you see. I loved every minute of it. I got to confess, it was great. And I'm not biased. I'm just telling you how I feel. You know, I did a lot of ceremonies. And this one tops it all. I have been to a lot of ceremonies, but this one tops it all. This was the greatest wedding that I have ever been to. It was, you know, a lot of bridesmaids, a lot of men in the, you know, dress alike in there with the cub stuff. It was beautiful. But look, on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only, Belinda Parker Brown. I didn't know. She's a superstar. She's my girl. I love her. And we are going to have to figure out a way how we can help her. And if we can do that, I think everybody will be happy. So I'm going to bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only, the queen. She's the queen. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me. Talk to me.
Hey,
Belinda
Pastor Pinckney. Pastor Pinckney, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get myself to encourage here. You know, it come a time when you have to encourage yourself, Pastor Pinckney.
Yes.
But I, you know, I really enjoy your show. I want to talk about all this great stuff you got going on, especially with the notoriety of the Sambos and awards. But I'm in a crisis here, Pastor Pinckney, just to be honest and very candid and straightforward with you. I am in a serious crisis in regards to advocacy work. When they target us to silence us and to stop us from helping people. And, you know, I've been trained by the best, none other than you yourself. And I haven't, you know, seen anything like this before where, you know, they can actually manufacture a case against you. And I want to tell your listeners about that if you would allow me to have the time to share with them, because
mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
You all the time you want. This is your day.
Yeah, I know for a fact that there's people out there that needs to hear this. And if they're listening now, Pastor Pinckney, they need to know that we have judges that are sitting on the bench in these roles that is bullying people from the bench. And that's what we call in this whole attack on me is a judge that is basically doing whatever he wants to do from the bench. And he have the power and authority to do that. You know, so I want to just, you know, try to let the people understand about what happened. First of all, people need to know that, you know, I'm the CEO and the co-founder of a civil constitutional human rights organization where we focus on any type of wrongdoing and injustice, you know, a social justice organization, you know, educational training, you know, community awareness, you know, all the great stuff that we do to help people better understand, you know, when they're caught in a situation where, you know, it's in there's some sort of unlawful discrimination or, you know, something going on and they don't really understand their rights. So, you know, I have been, you know, for quite some time, I want to say for at least the last 7 or 8 months, I have been receiving some intense complaints where families were being destroyed, you know, people were really suffering. And from what really sparked my attention was is that this young man, he said, I pray that someone please, please investigate the St. Tammany Parish 22nd JDC Court for all the corruption and illegal, unjust sentencing and threats to take plea bargains. Now, listen to that, Pastor Pinckney. This young man was told that if he go to trial, you know, he was offered a plea bargain. He was threatening Badger to take the plea bargain. They got mad because he didn't take the plea bargain, so he went to trial. The plea bargain was 2 years, but he kept telling them that he suspected that the drugs had been planted on him and that he, you know, he didn't have any drugs in his car. So, you know, so he wanted to go to trial, get his discovery and, you know, put up a defense and prove that, you know, his innocence. So he didn't take the plea, so he went to trial, which the trial was, you know, you got to be careful because you're going to be tried by an all-white jury in this parish. They found him guilty and gave him 40 years, although the plea deal was 2 years. So I get summons to the courthouse in May of this year by one of my members. And she was, Miss Brown, are you on your way? You know, how long is it going to be before you get here? And I can tell in her voice was trembling and that she was, you know, very nervous and appeared to be scared. And I said, well, I'm on my way. I'm almost there. She said, because this man is trying to force me to take this plea, and he, you know, he's pressuring me to take this plea, and I don't want to plea because I did not do what they said I did. So I told her, well, just hold on till I get there. So when I get there, her and her mother were standing out there in the hallway. And the public defender was standing there speaking with them. So I walk up, and immediately he jerks away. And, you know, so, you know, she comes over and her mom and talk to me, and I say, well, sweetheart, listen, I say, have, you know, have this public defender talk to you before? She said, no, I never talked to him. I said, have he told you about anything, you know, have he talked to you about anything in regards to your defense? She said, no. I said, do you know what they have on you, what they saying you did? She said, I haven't seen nothing. I haven't seen my discovery. I don't even know who these people are that's accusing me. So I said, okay, then, well, you don't have to take a plea. I say, you want, she said, well, I don't want to take the plea, but he telling me if I don't take it, they're going to give me a lot of time, and this is going to happen to me, and I'm going to have to do this. And she just started rattling off a whole lot of stuff. So in the meantime, you know, her mom said, well, Ms. Parker, is there something else that she can do, you know, because I say, well, the only other thing is that, you know, I can help her, you know, obtain private counsel. I said, but we're going to need time to do that. And she was like, well, you know, they say they're going to take me. They say they're going, if I don't take the plea, you know, I'm going to have to go to trial right now. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you do have a right to go to trial. I said, you don't have to take a plea. She said, well, I want to go to trial. But so Pastor Pinckney, I'm here to tell you the young lady was snatched away, taken into the courtroom. The attorney kept on badgering her to the point where the court was still in recess. The judge was not on the bench. So me and her mother walked in there behind her. So she said, I don't understand what you're telling me. So we walk away. And I said, well, come on then. Let's go back outside. So at that point in time, you know, I was concerned about her getting a continuance. So she go back in there. I leave. I have to go upstairs to another proceeding. And she said, okay. She went in, and lo and behold, the attorney went whining and crying to the judge. In her case now, listen to me, I don't have nothing to do. Well, Ms. Parker Brown, you know, I almost had the plea. I almost had it, Your Honor. But Ms. Parker Brown interfered with me representing my client, and now she wants a continuance, and you know, she's not going to take the plea. You know, I mean, just whining and crying, so unprofessional, Pastor Pinckney.
I was
upstairs. I come downstairs on my way out of the court, not knowing what had transpired in the misdemeanor court. The deputy approaches me along with another attorney that I was with and says, Judge Beers wants you back in his courtroom right now. The judge said you have to go back in his courtroom. I said, I don't have any dealings with the judge. I'm on my way out of here. I have another meeting to be at. He said, well, you can't go nowhere. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't leave. The judge said you got to go back in his courtroom right now. Come back into his courtroom. So I stepped back, and I'm telling you, like you said, I can see the demons. I can see the wickedness and the evil that he wanted to wrestle me down to the floor and drag me back into that courtroom. So when the attorney that was standing there with me, she said, okay, Belinda, I'll go back in there with you. So we go back in there. And when I stepped in there, Pastor Pinckney, the judge said, Ms. Parker Brown, you know, come here. So I, you know, come forth. I said, excuse me? I was like, and he was like, you're not allowed back in this courtroom anymore. You've been banned from this courtroom. And if you come back up in here, you're going to get 6 months in jail. You're going to be fined $1,000 plus any court costs. I don't know what the other judge is going to do, but you're not allowed in this courtroom, and you're not allowed in my courtroom upstairs in Division B. So the attorney that was with me, she leans over to say to him, that, you know, before she can open her mouth, he said, are you here to represent her? Because I would advise you, if you're not representing her, then you don't need to say anything else. And so she leans over to me and said, Belinda, just object to everything. So I said, well, Your Honor, I object. Let the record reflect that I object. And then he said, well, you going to be served? You know, what's your address? You know, so several weeks later, you know, I go up to the courthouse. I'm still not allowed, you know, so I go and talk to the court administrator. I'm like, well, what is going on? I'm not allowed in the courtroom, and I need to be in there court watching. You know, I got, you know, members that need me in there to observe what's happening with their cases. You're not allowed in this courtroom. You know, the judge don't want you back in there, and you're going to be served. So I come home. I think it was like several days later, Pastor Pinckney, I get a deputy sheriff knock on my door and serve me a subpoena to appear in court for September the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what the people need to know. September the 7th. 3 days before that, I'm getting calls from the jail. I'm getting calls from ex-police officers, family members, New Orleans, from all over the state. People calling me, telling me that, Belinda, they're going to arrest you and put you in jail. They're going to arrest you and put you in jail. When I get there that day, okay, I immediately knew that I could not get a fair trial in this corrupt de facto courtroom. So I went to the federal court to get a removal, and I paid for it, got it stamped, and I walked into the courtroom. Now, listen, my attorney that had been paid $1,000 to represent me, okay, was late. So the judge say, you know, he gonna go ahead and proceed with my case. I said, well, Your Honor, my attorney is not here. You know, can I call him? He said, you can step out. You got 1 minute to call him. Now, that was very fishy. When I step outside, my attorney getting off the elevator, he walks up. I said, attorney, I said, you know, the judge done started already. I said, we better get in here. So we go into the courtroom. My attorney step up and tells the judge that he's not going to represent me because me and him couldn't meet. Yes, Pastor Pinckney. He told the judge he could not represent me because me and him did not meet eye to eye on me filing the removal to have the federal court take a look at whether or not they should be railroading me into his courtroom. So when the attorney, the judge said, well, you sit down. So he's like, are you ready, Miss Parker Brown? Then come forth. I said, wait a minute. I just want to make a special appearance, Your Honor. I say, here is, you know, the document. I said, I have filed a removal in the federal court, and I hands it to the bailiff. The bailiff handed it to him. He looked through it and flipped the pages and said, well, I don't see no signed order, and we're proceeding. You know, come on up. Pastor Pinckney. That was a scary moment. I said, well, Your Honor, I'm not prepared to go to trial with y'all. I say, can you, you know, please give me a continuous, allow me a time to hire counsel. You know, he said, no, we're proceeding now. And I'm fit to call my first witness. So he called his first witness. The judge called his first witness. Listen to me. The first witness was the crybaby public defender that lied on me and said I was interfering with him representing his client. The first thing the judge asked him was, do you know Belinda Parker Brown? Well, no, Your Honor, I don't know her. I didn't heard about her, but I don't know her. So he go on to say all of this stuff, you know, so the first thing come to me to get the questioning right. Pastor Pinckney, I hope people hear this. I asked him, I said, well, Attorney Gavin, you don't know me? I say, is your daddy's name Dr. Leon Richard? He said, yeah. I say, don't you know your daddy been a member of my organization for quite some time now and do a family membership every year? I say, is that your father? He said, yeah. I said, well, did your father tell you that, did you tell your father that the public defender's office had a special meeting, called a special meeting, and my name was the topic of the discussion, that none of the attorneys in the public defender's office don't have no communication with me, don't have no dealings with me, or else it's going to, you know, and if they represent any of my members on the organization, that they're going to go to prison. I said, did you tell your father that? Well, we have meetings all the time, and what my daddy got to do with this? And he turned to the judge, and my father don't have nothing to do with this. I said, did you tell your father that the public defender's office had this secret meeting on me? That's all I want to know. Did you tell that to your father?
Yes.
He wouldn't ask the pastor pick me. Yes, indeed. So then I turned around. I said, well, answer this question since you don't want to answer that one. I say, did you tell this young lady that she have to take a plea? I said, did you tell her or pressure her that she have to take a plea? Okay, he said, no. I said, well, did you tell her she have to take a plea? Did you say anything to her about taking a plea? And he was like, no. I said, then why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here?
Yeah.
So it goes past the picnic. I'm telling you, for 2 hours, I sat there and went through that with these people. So when it came time for me to present my argument and call witnesses, I said, the judge said, well, do you have any witnesses you want to call? I said, yes, Your Honor. I want to call you.
All right. That's a good move.
I said, because I want to know, what did they tell you?
And
you know,
when
what was, when and what did they say to you for us to be here today? I said, because I need to know. I said, because then the judge said, well, you can't call me as a witness. I
why
said, well, then why are we here? I said, then what are we here for if I can't call you as a witness?
Yeah.
You going by something somebody done told you, some he say, she say. So, you know, he called, you know, one of the deputy, you know, that actually detained me, asked him a question. Well, what did you see Ms. Parker Brown do? He said, I didn't see nothing, Your Honor. He said, because when I looked around, you know, Ms. Brown was gone.
Yeah.
I said, well, then this should be over right here, right now. I said, because he's an officer of the court. If he's telling you he didn't see nothing and none of this stuff happened, then why are we here? Pastor Pinckney, don't you know that judge sat up there and he found me guilty of indirect contempt of court. He fined me $1,000 and banned me from the courtroom for life.
And you going to appeal that, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Because now I'm finding out through some of my legal research is that he could have went on with the trial just like he did, but he could not rule. And
right.
So since he did rule, he is in contempt. You hear me, Pastor Pinckney?
I hear you well. I know where you're going with that. I had the same issue at Barron County. They accused me of practicing law without a license. And when they said, well, you practice. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm giving them spiritual advice. I said, if
Pastor
they
Pinckney. That's what they're trying to say, that the indirect contempt is practicing law without a license, and that's
right.
Why they're saying that, you know, that he can find me. But the truth of the matter is, I put on the record that me and my husband both are ordained elders and that we minister in counsel to, you know, spiritual counsel with people all the time. I said, but it's most so about education, you know, information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowledge, you know, of what their rights are, you know, and if they wish to go to trial, that's their wishes. They got the
right
to go to trial. Can't, you know, so Pastor Pinckney, when I said this to him, he said, well, tell me a little bit about your organization. What do y'all do? I said, yeah, Your Honor, I'm glad you asked that question because it appeared to me as though my organization is what's on trial here today. I said, because this is, you know, by us being, you know, we're a very powerful organization, and it's very much needed, the work that we do. I said, because when it comes to a lot of, you know, grandparents and young people, you know, that are trapped in the system that don't even know how to get themselves bonded out of jail, or else grandparents don't know how to, you know, where to turn if they looking for an attorney, whether it's civil, criminal, or whatever. I say that's where our organization come in at.
Mm-hmm.
I say, so Pastor Pinckney, now moving forward, I really think about this story in the book of Esther when, you know, Mordecai and Haman, where they built this thing where they was going to kill the man of God.
Okay.
And, you know, and it all backfired on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Pharaoh told Moses, you know, he told Moses, and then Moses turned around and told him. He said, "Out of your own mouth, you didn't spoke the damnation up. You didn't spoke it up on your own head."
Yeah.
So he in there charging me with contempt of court, and now he didn't broke the federal rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to be proven that it's right.
And also,
so that's why you don't go around lying on people. You don't go around lying on people and saying I did something that I didn't do. Now it's got to come back on you.
There you go. And also, you can file a petition. I don't know what they call it there. When you file a complaint against the judge, you can do that. But also, you can only make it civil. Also, don't just go there. Sue his butt.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, I'm going to tell you right now, I know what the suing is all about, but this right here is really about this plea bargain scheme that the whole world, it's just not happening here. It's happening all over where people are being forced, threatened, and badgered to take pleas to stuff that they didn't even do. You know, it's a part of their gravy train, you know, and then when people exercise their right to go to trial, which they have a right to do that, Then they try to penalize them by giving them an excessive amount of time because they're mad that the person went to trial. You can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. 100% I agree with you.
So this is what we're here. We're set out to expose that and also to expose that the judge, the prosecutor, your lawyer, their lawyer, the clerk of courts, you know, the sheriff, the police officer, all of them are in on it. Because you know, I really wanted to have Dr. Jackson on here with me because we want to tell the people, you know, how this is connected to their Social Security number and that they get a bond and that's how they get paid. They all get paid off of your Social Security number and the bond that's connected to your name, and it's better that you just take the plea so they can all walk away and get paid. Now, the one lawyer that got up there and lied on me, he went all the way back to the corrupt administration of the district attorney that we was able to be successful in getting indicted along with the sheriff. You remember that, Pastor Pinckney?
Yep, I remember that.
Now, he got up there, and you know, we're going to have to show these people that they're messing with the wrong people. And I got so many complaints about him where people pay him thousands of dollars. They pay him thousands of dollars. Guess what he do? He plea him out. A plea is free. A plea is free. Why do you have somebody paying you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and all you going to do is plea him out? And that's what they've been doing here. You know, and they do it all over. And what I'm trying to say to people, that if you know, you know, take responsibility for what you did. But you don't have to, you know, I had a grandmother come to me, Pastor Pinckney, and I mean, she had a big old jar of nickels, dimes, you know, quarters and pennies. And she counted up all of that change, Pastor Pinckney, to try to help pay for her son, her grandson, to get a lawyer. Can you imagine?
No.
And then the lawyer turn around and take her money and kick her grandson under the bus with a plea?
Yeah, that's what they do. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it goes on and on and on and on, Belen. We have to change. Sometimes we can be our own enemy. And you think these guys, these black people that's in authoritative positions, is going to help you? That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen, Belinda Parker Brown. They do that so they can get in with these white devils. That's exactly what they do.
Well, I'm glad you said that because this man that went and whining and crying to the judge and lied on me is a black man. And he is none other than I would say that he is the grandmaster of the Sambos. And guess what? He is the only black man in the public defender's office.
Shut up.
Pastor Pinckney, that is a real sad situation. And you know what? When I exposed him turned around, he didn't want to answer the question whether or not they had the secret meeting on me. And so that's another thing, because he knows he told his daddy that. He know he told his daddy that, because it wouldn't be no way in the world that I would know that had he not told his daddy that they had a secret meeting on me. So how do you think he feel right now? Do you think he still got a job working in that public defender's office? He didn't ruin his whole career telling a lie on me and letting these white people back him up in the corner to do something stupid like that. That is ignorant.
Victoria?
But that's what I live to do. Don't they know my nickname is Sunshine? I'm going to shine the darkness on the light. I'm going to shine the light on the darkness, Pastor Pinckney. I'm going to expose it. And he has been exposed. I mean, he's been turned inside out. You should have seen how his suit looked on him when he walked out of that courtroom. It looked dirty. He came in there looking clean, but he left out looking dirty, filthy, evil, wicked.
Wow, I can imagine. And see, when these courtrooms, you go in these courtrooms, and then these devils come in there with these horns and tails and wings, you can see them. All you have to do is be in the spiritual realm. You can see all this, and this is what's happening. But here's the sad part. We accept it. That's the worst thing that we can ever say to anybody. We accept all this stuff from these people. Like, you know, and then we cry like babies, why we ain't got this, or why this is not going on, or why this is not happening. We cry like babies, you know, and then want to complain later on. What did you do to help, you know? Man, I tell you, we in a fix. It's going to take us another 400 years to even to do anything, because, everything, we're in jeopardy right now.
I know we're almost out of time, Pastor Pinckney, but I have filed a United States with the United States District Court and Federal Court. I filed the motion suggesting of contempt of removal, you know, to the Honorable U.S. District Judge and Clerk, that I'm going to have the United States Marshal serve this on the judge first thing. Tomorrow morning, I'm going over there to, get that done, Pastor Pinckney. And you're right. We got to do something. But, you know, people got to understand that this is a lot of mental distress. You know, it has taken a lot of drain of energy from me and distraction from my family and the work that I do with the people that we help. It have also financially burdened us, because at the last minute I had to file this in the federal court. Now I got to get the transcripts. I got to go here and go there and do this. You already know that's what they intend to do, is keep us all tangled up, being the business people in the world, you know, fighting against this type of frivolous stuff. But like I say, Pastor Pinckney, I know God allowed things to happen for a reason. You know, I heard you say it's not about us. It's about what we have to do if we really want to see the changes for the betterment of our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren.
Yeah, absolutely. You 100%. And that's really just the way it is, you know. We have to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do. Make sure that we're right on top of everything. Make sure we're doing what needs to be done. And this is something that we can do. Belinda Parker Brown, listen, if anything I can do to help, but make sure you stay on the attack. Attack them. You know, that's the
that's
key.
That's right. I want this judge to realize, Pastor Pinckney, that he picked this fight. He started it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he let these people reel him into this ignorant stuff. Now, we got to finish it.
It's not going to turn out like he thinks it is, because they're going to take a good look at this. And then also, you know, I know they got some kind of attorney, we call it judicial tenders commission here. So I don't know what they call it there. Look that up too and file a complaint with them. Make sure
absolutely. We got that. We got that, because that has to be done against not just him, against the other lawyers and the public defender's office.
And don't forget that judge. I mean, that black guy, too. He going down with him. Get that Sambo. He's a straight up
Sambo. Well, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, a young lawyer that worked in the public defender's office. Probably the first job he ever had. It's so sad, Pastor Pinckney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Belinda Parker Brown, we are out of time. Listen, let's talk soon. Let's see what
Thank
we can
you
do.
Thank so much.
And stay on top of it. Hey, Cole, I got a lot
All
of
right.
comments from you. A lot of people want to know what's going on. They're excited. But, hey, keep the fight up, girl. I'm proud of you. Take it to the next level. Love you.
Well,
have
I
want to
come back where you can have people take calls, too. Okay? All right.
Oh, okay, I can do that. Let's not next week, the following week. Let's do it the following week. Let's do it.
Okay. All right now. Bye-bye.
All right, young lady.